The lights are on red. We're away.
Hello, welcome to MotoGP OD, the internet radio show about motorcycle road racing. I am Bob Hayes, your host, and today is the 16th of May, 2006. It's a Tuesday, and this is show number 59. We're doing our Shanghai Grand Prix of China race wrap-up today, coming out on Tuesday, one day later than my sort of goal, which is a Monday show, but that has been happening the past few shows anyways, and it actually seems to be working out better, because one thing... Once the season has started here, one thing I've noticed, and noticed this last year, I do the race wrap-ups. It comes right after the normal Friday show. That kind of kills the downloads for the Friday show, and a lot of people don't seem to get it. So if you, whatever you're, you know, using iTunes or the website or whatever it is that you're using to download the shows, you may not have heard episode 58 on Friday. I recommend that you go ahead, go to the website at MotoGPOD.com or check it in iTunes or whatever. Download that episode 58. It was a good one. We had our Shanghai preview show, and I was talking on a three-way Skype conversation with Liam Schubert in Spain and Jim Race down in California, and we just had a good time kind of talking about the upcoming race and some of the thoughts that we had and stuff. And maybe you should go ahead and listen to it now, because it wasn't just all a Shanghai preview, but then you can see where we were on our predictions and things like that, because it was a good call. We got quite a few email comments about it. I think it went well, and thank you very much to those of you out there that sent those emails in. And while we're talking about iTunes and the website and ways that you can listen to the race, this has been a thing that I've been meaning to do for so long, and it's been on the list and it just keeps dropping off. I'm going to set up an email notification. So there will be a place on the website, MotoGPOD.com, where you can go in and sign up, put your email address in, and basically you just get an email. Whenever a new episode is posted, you get an email, and that's the only time you would get an email, and you know your email address is not going to be sold and stolen for any nefarious purposes or anything like that. So whatever, the rest of the stuff that we're going to be talking about in this show today, besides this kind of administrative fun stuff, we are going to briefly talk about the qualification session there at Shanghai. Then, of course, we're going to have our race report, which is brought to you today courtesy by Dave Sangster. He's OMRA racer number 29, the Oregon Motorcycle Road Racing Association, OMRA. And Dave runs a sort of a tipping competition that he's kind of doing with some of his friends, and he writes up this email newsletter that he sends out, and I read it, and I liked his style a lot, and I, you know, I was kind of like, oh, this is cool, and sort of said, hey, Dave, can I steal this? And he says, yeah, please do. So we're going to read through that, and we'll see if we agree or disagree with Dave on some of his comments and stuff. It's kind of fun. Then after that, I'll make a few of my own comments, and we'll talk briefly about the standings. And then at the very tail end of the show, I will talk a little bit about the track day that I just completed. It was my very first track day. I've mentioned it a few times on the show. It went real well, and I just, you know, want to get the MotoGP stuff out of the way, so people that are the, you know, the main fan base of MotoGP OD is, of course, the road racing fans. So we're going to talk about professional racing real quick, and then we'll talk about a little bit about my track day experiences and some of the things I had. And not a full meal deal review, just a quick, you know, I made it, I didn't crash kind of a thing. So, in any event, why don't we get on with it and talk a little bit about qualifying. Saturday's qualifying session for the Shanghai Grand Prix was originally forecast to be wet, just like the Friday session actually was, very wet race, or practice session. But Saturday turned out to be dry. So for the qualifying session, the riders went out. A rainstorm did come through about halfway through, but the riders all went back into the pits at that point. The rain kind of quickly passed, and they were able to go out there for the last 20 minutes and qualify on regular standard qualifying tires and slicks. Stoner had a pretty nasty looking crash, kind of an awkward tumble, just before that rain came through, roughly midway-ish through the session or so. But he was able to go back out there and put in a good qualifying lap and really kind of did a good job. Overall, the standings in the the way the grid lined up for it was Danny Pedrosa on pole, got put in a very good time, the first rider to get down below the two-minute mark late in the session. He had a 159.009. And then John Hopkins, number two on the Suzuki, doing very well. Excellent qualifying position for John. He had a fairly good weekend all around. Colin Edwards finishing out the front row. So on a Yamaha, we've got three different makes, three different riders that were you know, it's good to see Colin on the front row. Good to see John Hopkins there up there and qualifying second, although he tends to be a fairly good qualifier. Excellent front row. Fourth position, Shinya Nakano on a Kawasaki. Fifth, Nikki Hayden on the Honda. And sixth, Sete Gibran on the Ducati. So there you go. In your two front rows, your top six riders, you've got five different motorcycle makes. So it's been just a crazy season so far, and it's just continuing on and on. It's a really great racing, some good stuff to watch, and I hope we see it continue through the rest of the season. Third row, Casey Stoner in seventh position, then Marco Melandri, both on Hondas, then Randy DePugna on the other Kawasaki, ninth. We're starting to see some of the differences here that the Bridgestone tires can offer, where these riders are able to qualify fairly well. Perhaps the weather conditions made a play into it. Who knows, just the suitability of the track. You'll note a name that we have not said yet, and we're not going to say it for a while. 10th position, first guy on the fourth row, Loris Caparossi, the other Ducati, out-qualified by his teammate. He's the first rider. No, excuse me. He's the third rider into the 2 minutes. But it's still, we're looking at just about a second off of pole position all the way down to 10th. Then Makoto Tomita, number 11th on the grid there. Christopher Mullen, 12th on the other Suzuki. And Valentino Rossi, first guy in the fifth row, qualified 13th for this race. Despite having done the fastest laps on Friday in the wet and looking like he was going to have a really strong weekend and things were going through, just did not have a very good qualifying session at all. Was a victim of the terrible chatter problems that he's been having, or vibration as you like to call it, or as he likes to call it, whatever. So he only qualified on the fifth row, 13th on the grid. 14th, Carlos Checa, gotta love those Dunlops. And then 15th spot, last guy in the fifth row, Tony Elias on the Honda. 16th, Alex Hoffman on one of the Dantin Ducati motorcycles. And James Ellison, 17th on the Yamaha. It's nice to see James not last. 18th, Kenny Roberts Jr., KR211V. Not 100% sure why, what happened there. Didn't see a lot of news about it of where, you know, what happened. But apparently was just sort of didn't have a very good qualifying session. Had a time of 202.3, so he was fair amount off pole too. And then 19th on the grid, bringing up the only guy in the seventh row, Jose Luis Cardozo from the other Dantin Ducati. So there's our grid for the Shanghai GP. Like I said, Danny Pedrosa getting the pole position. It's kind of cool. And John Hopkins in second. That's also awesome. So we're seeing a good mix of riders that are getting the poles and getting in the front row throughout this season. It's not a one-man show this year at all. The depth of field, the talent and the depth of the field is so incredible this year that we really are. And I think some of the disparity between the manufacturers is somewhat evening out a tiny bit. And not that I want to see, you know, wish bad luck on anybody or anything, but it's kind of good to know that Rossi is human after all, and that the team can be faced by some of these problems that they're having, and they seem to have a very, very tough time to work out, and that they're not the superhumans that we thought they were the last couple of years. So there's our qualifying session. Let's talk a little bit about the race. Like I said in the intro, today's race report is actually courtesy of Dave Sangster. He wrote this up. Dave races in the Oregon Motorcycle Road Racing Association, a.k.a. OMRA, and he is number 29. So I'm not going to give out Dave's email address because I didn't check with him if that would be okay, but I will check with him, and if it's okay, I'll put it on the website. If you guys want to send Dave any comments, feel free, or if you just send them to me, bob@motogpod.com, works just fine, bob@motogpod.com. Send me comments if you like this, don't like it, whatever, and I'll pass them on to Dave. So, Dave writes, Pedrosa got the whole shot and ran it wide. Edwards and Hopkins ripped through on the inside and never looked back. Formula One tracks are good to American riders, very tight corners that favor the backing it in aggressive style and then long straightaways. Suzuki has found that speed that they were after with a more powerful motor. Hopkins' Bridgestones held up and he had good edge grip. Did you see those lean angles? He bumped an elbow, which is true. Hopkins ran a fantastic race. He was in second for the first several laps. Looking at the lap chart here, he was in second for the first eight laps and finally managed to get passed by Pedrosa and Hayden on lap nine and held on to fourth position the whole way through. And so, you know, kind of going a little out of order on this race report. Sorry about that. But talking about Hopkins, just did a fantastic job. It's his best MotoGP result ever. You could see he was real happy to do it. And, you know, it was great to see him up front. And you're looking at him, wow, number two. You know, he's right up there with Colin Edwards and battling it out. And looked like they were almost going to be starting to check out a little bit. But they those Bridgestone tires for Hopkins kind of did start going off a little bit. Had heard that he had said that he wasn't going to try and manage the tires. He was just going to go out there and do it, and you know, not worry so much about tire management. And if that's true, it sounds a little odd, but if that's true, it kind of worked for him. You know, I was sort of looking for him to start falling off the pace sooner and to start falling off the pace more drastically than he did. He ran a really good race and a well-deserved fourth for Hopkins, excuse me. So while we get completely off track here, back to Dave's report. Yamaha's troubles with setup and chatter continue. Edwards' guys are getting it right, and the problem is worsening for the doctor. Now, with Rossi DNFing, it is looking like his chances at winning the title are more into question. And I got to agree with Dave on this one. You know, all along, it's on like the tipping competitions and what I sort of say of my race picks and things like that. I keep waiting for, okay, well, you know, this week Rossi's going to, you know, they're going to figure it all out and it'll just be gone and we'll be back to, you know, normal, quote unquote normal, with Rossi just out there in the front. And it's just, it hasn't happened. We're four races into a 17 race season. This is almost 25% of the way through. And things just aren't clicking along too well yet. So, you know, they still have plenty of time. A whole lot can change between now and the rest of the season. So we're not going to write anybody off. But it is, you know, I would be less surprised to see Rossi not take the title now. And for those of you that did not yet see the race, well, first of all, you shouldn't be listening to this, but I'm going to tell you anyway that basically what happened with Rossi is his terrible qualifying position that we started or that we talked about earlier, qualifying 13th on the grid, and kind of managed to jump up on the first lap to 10th position and kind of got stuck there behind Melandri. And he was battling it out with Melandri for the first four laps or so to try to get past Melandri and start making progress up the order. But Melandri was holding him off, and Rossi made some comments after the race talking about this you know, race that he was having with Melandri, and it seemed like he was a little PO'd at Melandri, that, you know, Melandri was putting out some strong moves and was racing really hard, and while that might be great for the last lap, you know, for the win, it seemed a little odd so early in the race when you're battling for, you know, 9th and 10th place and that sort of thing. And I kind of was a little surprised at that Rossi would even say that, because, you know, for one, you know, good for you, Marco. You know, don't let him pass. Whether it's a race for 9th and 10th or a race for the win, you don't want especially Rossi to pass you, because, you know, once he passes you, then he checks out and he's gone. So, you know, you got to hold him off. And that may not have been the wisest race strategy all along, but I think that's, you know, Marco kind of knew what he was doing and decided that this is how he's going to do it. And, you know, I respect that. And I was a little surprised. Rossi seemed kind of a sort of a, you know, cheesed off kind of attitude about the whole thing. And it's just like, well, you know, hey, that's racing, Rossi. People aren't going to let you pass because they don't want you to pass them, because, like I said, then you're gone, you check out. So in any event, Rossi did get past Melandri and started working his way up. And by lap 8, he was in 5th position and looking pretty good. Had kind of a fair gap between him and Hopkins up in 4th, but it just, something happened, and about two-thirds into the race, I believe it was on lap 15 or 16, he pitted and had a rear tire change, and he had chunks come off the tire and everything, so they changed the rear tire. As he was leaving the pits, one of the mechanics, you know, was almost trying to stop him. It almost looked like they tried to grab him, because the front tire was the one that was chunked, and it was just a big chunk taken out of this tire. So Rossi did another lap and then came back into the pits, and that was it, called it a day. And so you look at the lap chart from MotoGP.com, and you see here on lap 17, you know, number 46 in 18th position, and he's got a little square around it, meaning that he was a lapped rider. And I don't think I've ever seen that before, and I'm kind of curious if, you know, if anybody remembers seeing that when you see Rossi as a lapped rider. But in any event, so Rossi DNF'd on this one. The first DNF of the race, for those of you that do the tipping competitions and things like that, was Chris Vermeulen, crashed on lap 4. Let's get back here to Dave's write-up. I'm jumping around a lot here. Hope that's okay. So Dave continues, Stoner gets the Guts Award this time. Despite a crash in quali, another crash in morning warm-up, and another crash during the race, look at that finish down there in fifth position. He wasn't taking crap from anyone, especially Rossi, and both his front and rear were out of shape with fair regularity. To clarify on that, it wasn't actually a full-on crash during the race, but he did have a little off-track excursion. And Stoner did run a really good race. Got held up by Jimmernau, he said, in the sort of first, I don't know, laps 5 through 8 or so, somewhere around there. But when he finally got around Jimmernau, and then he had his little, then he was behind Rossi, but he was fair gap, and then had his little off-track excursion, but still managed to finish fifth. Stoner's coming on real strong. I think we're going to see good results from him. Continuing on, Dave's comments here. Tomata-san ekes out a sixth place, which, yes, is a very good result for Makoto Tomata. Good to see him up there in the top half of the order. Didn't really see a whole lot of Tomata during the race. There was a couple times that we saw some coverage of him and looking pretty strong and battling out there. So who knows? Maybe he's, you know, just had a good day. Maybe he's a little bit getting used to his Michelins after, you know, only a year and a half. I don't know. New lap record of 159.009, circuit record actually, by Danny Pedrosa. Both Pedrosa and Hayden got lap times under 2 minutes. So it's very good. China results. We're going to cover the China results here real quick. First place, Danny Pedrosa on the Honda. Then second place, Nikki Hayden, also on a Honda. Tight with Danny. Third place, Colin Edwards, Yamaha. Good to see Colin Edwards back on the podium. It's been a long absence for him, and we know he can do well, and he must be feeling very, very pumped, too, that he is, you know, he's basically doing better than Rossi a little bit here. Fourth place, John Hopkins on the Suzuki, best result so far. Fifth place, Casey Stoner, another Honda, doing very, very well. Sixth place, Makoto Tomata. And he says, Dave says, these four were dicing tight the whole way, which is true. It was good. It was a big battle. Who's he talking about? These four? Yeah. Edwards, Hopkins, Stoner, Tomata. Yeah, somewhat. Marco Melandri was in seventh. There we go. With barely over a second of each other. That's where we're talking about the dicing. Yes, and they were exactly and very much true. Eighth place, Loris Caporossi on the Ducati. Ninth place, Sete Gibernau on another Ducati. Tenth place goes to Shinya Nakano on the Kawasaki. After such a good qualifying session, kind of fell off there a little bit. Didn't see a whole lot of action there from Shinya. Tony Elias came in 11th, just 1.5 seconds separating him and Nakano. Then 12th place, Randy Dupuynier on the Kawasaki. 13th, Kenny Roberts. So he came up from his not very good qualifying session and finished 13th, you know, which is a lot better than Team KR were doing last year. Still, though, you know, kind of what's going on. They got a new chassis coming out at Le Mans. Maybe it's time for another talk with Chuck Axlin to see how doing that. We'll probably do that after Le Mans if I can get a hold of him. If he has time to talk to us, we'll see. And wish him the best of luck there in Le Mans. And hopefully that chassis combined with Kenny Roberts' skills and the engine's power can get Team Roberts up further up the order there. 14th place, Carlos Checa on the Yamaha. Dave's comments there says, Dunlops, yahoo! Yeah, which in MotoGP, that's true. In a lot of other series, though, it's Dunlop's Yahoo. So it just kind of depends on which series you're riding in, I guess. 15th place, Alex Hoffman. 16th, James Ellison, the other Yamaha rider. And 17th, Jose Luis Cardoso. So Ellison's not last. That's nice for him. Then two DNFs. We had Vermeulen crashed out after about 3 laps, 7 minutes in or so. And then Rossi, his front tire came apart, which, yes, is true. And as I talked about earlier, initially Rossi thought it was the rear tire that was chunking. Turned out it was the front and had to retire. Not a good weekend for Rossi. Big frustration fest. So he's kind of upset about that. But a very, very good weekend for Danny Pedrosa. And a very good weekend for MotoGP fans in general, because this means we have 4 races so far this year and 4 different winners. So, you know, it's doing great. And we're going to be talking here in a little bit about the standings, and we'll kind of take a quick look at the world standings and see where we're at. Okay, let's take a real quick look at the championship standings after round 4 of our 17-round season. And like I said, we've had 4 different races, 4 different winners. So it's been very, very exciting on that score so far. We're seeing even a mix of machinery up there at the front, you know, with a Ducati, a Yamaha, and with two Hondas so far as our winners. So it's kind of cool. It's turned out to be a good season. Right now, after China, leading the points in the World Championship classification is Nicky Hayden. Yeah, it's got 72 points. That puts him 13 points ahead of second place Loris Capirossi and a total of 15 points ahead of third place Danny Pedrosa. Pedrosa made some big gains with his win. Gained, took 5 points off of Nicky. So, you know, this continues. Nicky's, you know, this is his, what, eighth podium in a row. He's also showing that not necessarily a podium is only a third place, which is how they always were, you know, but now he's picked up a second here in China. He picked up his second place in Qatar. And so combined with the two third places he's got, you know, he's doing well. He's got a strong season going on, but he needs to win some. You can't have people taking 5 points off of you per race or something like that. You know, Pedrosa, if we continue this thing, Pedrosa's going to catch up. But he's got a fairly strong position right now in the standing. So we'll just see how Hayden continues going on, and he might do very well. So we kind of got sidetracked there a little bit. We're going down the standings. Capirossi second, Pedrosa third, Marco Melandri fourth, 54 points. Casey Stoner fifth, 52 points. Look at that, two rookies in the top five. Then sixth place, Valentino Rossi. Been a while since we've seen Rossi down that far. He's only got 40 points. He's 32 points out of first. With the DNF in China, just is not helping very well. You know, I had a fourth place in Turkey, one in Qatar before that, and then his disastrous Spanish round where he was crashed out in turn one and managed to finish in, 14th spot. But it's just, season's not gelling here. So, like I said, those safe predictions of always being able to predict Rossi for the win are just not panning out, not working out very well for me, you know, on my when I do my tipping competitions. But who knows, maybe he's going to come back. Seventh place, Tony Elias. Eighth place, Colin Edwards. Fairly nondescript finishes, you know, for the first three races of the year. And then that fourth place in China really sort of bumped things up and kind of moving things along. Shinya Nakano in ninth place with 28 points. Sete Gibernau down there in 10th, 25 points. His DNF in Spain kind of killing him there. Although his Turkish Grand Prix finish of 11th place didn't really help either. And then Makoto Tomata in 11th, 24 points. John Hopkins down there in 12th spot, 20 points. And Kenny Roberts Jr., 13th place, doing, you know, it's okay. Hey, Team KR, you know, they're moving up. They're ahead of quite a few people, including ahead of Chris Vermeulen in 14th with 13 points. Then Carlos Checa down there in 10 points. And Randy Dupuynier in 16th, James Ellison in 17th, and Alex Hoffman in 18th. And interestingly enough, this did not even mention Jose Luis Cardoso at all, which is surprised. I guess probably hasn't scored a single point, but I'm surprised they didn't put on there zero. But in any case, he's going to be in 19th position, riding in the Dantin Ducati. So there's a quick look at our World Championship classification. Like I said, Nicky Hayden, pretty good position right now, you know, but he was a little later on in the season because we do still have 13 more races to go, and we're coming up on the European rounds, and like Dave Sangster says in his little write-up, next round we're headed off to Europe, which specifically Le Mans in France, and Dave says, where the good old boys will return to the front. Watch for strong races from Melandri, Rossi, Capirossi at round five of the MotoGP series at the Le Mans circuit in France. Relative to the other European tracks, this is one with tight corners. And he says, go, Nicky, go, and late braking, which should help Hopper. And, you know, I hope that's true. Off the top of my head, you know, I don't have a very good picture of exactly what Le Mans looks like, so I'm going to have to take Dave's word for that. And I will do a little bit of research. We'll have our Le Mans preview show coming up here on Friday. We'll be off myself, actually, to the AMA races at Sears Point, a.k.a. Infineon for the new things, down in Sonoma, California this weekend. So next week's race report might be a little bit late again because I'll be down there enjoying those races live. You know, there's nothing quite like going actually to the track and feeling the whole experience and drinking a beer and all that kind of good stuff. So going to have fun there and hook up with Jim Race probably and Jules from RideOn2.com and a few other people. And so if you're down there at Sears Point and you're going down there, and you see me wandering around, say hello. I'll be the guy probably wearing a MotoGP OD t-shirt. And we'll, you know, look forward to seeing you there. And for all of that, I think we're about done with our MotoGP content of this episode of MotoGPOD. So I'm going to talk a little bit about my track day here in the next segment. Okay, my track day. So, like I said, this is we're done with MotoGP. We're just talking a little bit about the track day that I just did. I wanted to mention I had so many people, you know, comment on me. Good luck. Good, you know, let me tell you about it. So I just want to real quick kind of recap. Track day. This isn't going to be the full blown after action report kind of a thing. I'm going to save that for either another show later on down the road that I'm kind of thinking about, or also for the motorcycle podcast group. We're working on some segments. So if you haven't been listening to the motorcycle podcast group's podcast, which I know have been few and far between lately, but we're working on another one, and I'll put some segment in there as well. But in any case, track day. I went up there on a Sunday, stayed with a friend, Darren Carpenter, and that I met through MotoGPOD, as a matter of fact. And we got an early start, got out to the track real early, and started unloading. And I had a little mishap right off the bat before I even got the motorcycle off the trailer. I managed to drop it while it was on the trailer. First time I've dropped this particular motorcycle, and kind of embarrassing. Thank God there was no damage done other than broke my windscreen, my zero-gravity double-bubble windscreen that it helped so much was in multiple pieces. Even then, it sort of sheared the top, just kind of clipped the top right off with a sort of a jagged edge. I took a knife, kind of scored the plastic, broke it off a little bit more square, put some gaffer tape across the top of it, and it covered up the jagged edges, and I had a tiny little bikini, basically just kind of rounded out the fairing. But thankfully, like I said, no hard parts broke off, so I wasn't, done for the day before I even got started. That would have been a very, very disappointing problem. Went through tech, no problems, of course. They did have an issue where they were repairing the track, putting down some epoxy that kind of affected the very first sessions, that should have been starting at 8 o'clock. And, basically they ended up, took out all three groups on a sort of a two lap ride around, formation lap kind of a thing at a relatively mild pace, which for me, as this was my first time ever on a track, felt damn fast. And, it wasn't too bad, but I did, I was like, wow, a little overwhelming. So then we went back in, they started running through the groups. So then I went out for my first actual session, and I've been told that this is a fairly common feeling on a track day, but it was kind of like, oh my God, what the hell have I got myself into? It was very unnerving. So if you have not yet ever done a track day, you might want to be prepared for that. It was pretty scary. And I was, riding through, I thought I was, I was pushing it as hard as I felt comfortable with. I definitely, sucked compared to the other riders out there on that first session. I wasn't the slowest. There was a lot of first time guys in my group, but I certainly wasn't doing all that well. I was just getting used to the track, just getting accustomed to the idea of pushing it and learning the track layout and all those sorts of things that you do. So, I had not only the first time riding that particular track, which was, by the way, in Portland at Portland Raceway, but riding on any track. And it was very, very unnerving. And the session ended a little early because an instructor actually crashed, had a fork seal go out and ended up losing the front. So they red flagged it. And that was about 15 minutes into the 20-minute session. And to be honest with you, I was ready for it to be over. I kind of wanted to pit, go and sort of collect my thoughts and kind of catch my breath and reevaluate, that sort of thing. For the second session, I was more ready. Got myself pumped back up and okay, let's go out there and let's try. And they did some little classroom sessions and explained some of the things they wanted us to do and so forth. And I, tried to apply those lessons and throughout the day, I sort of steadily improved. There were moments where it was a feeling of, boy, I'm not cut out for this. This just isn't for me. That sort of a thing. But no real scary moments of like, oh my God, I'm going to crash. I just wasn't pushing it that hard. I'm not that confident. I'm not that experienced. And frankly, I'm not that brave. So also, I not that willing to dump the motorcycle and have a huge repair bill. And also the embarrassment of having crashed are, always at the forefront of my mind, maybe too vivid of an imagination out there. But I managed to overcome that through the rest of the day. Last couple of sessions, Darren went out with me. You know, he had been riding in the A group through the day, but last couple of sessions he went out there in the C group and kind of acted as my sort of instructor, which was great because that was one thing that Cascade Track Time did not do. They didn't do a lot of lead arounds. They did have some instructors that sort of did a little bit of one-on-one. I actually tagged along with one of those instructors leading another guy around and kind of followed them for a bit, but it didn't seem to be working all that well. But when I went out there with Darren, you know, I followed him, he followed me, that kind of thing. Gave me a little post-session, you know, analysis of what I was doing and some of the things he saw. And that helped a lot. It really did to follow him around. And, you know, he was riding it at, I don't know, gosh, I doubt it was even like 60 or 70% of his normal race pace for him. But, you know, following his line and seeing where he was at, it really did help a lot. So basically, lessons learned here, if it's your first track day, be prepared to be, you know, a little nervous. You've got a lot of new things happening. You know, there's just a lot of new stuff going on. But it's not something that you should be afraid of. Don't get me wrong there. Everybody should do one if you have a sport bike and you're near a, or really it doesn't even have to be, you know, it doesn't have to be an R1 or a CBR 1000 or whatever kind of sport bike. It could be anything, you know, that's relatively sporty. I mean, part of the rules on some of these track day things are take off your luggage, you know? So, I mean, if you're looking at, you know, you've got a sport tour or something like that, those are out there. I think there was a BMW out there when we were there. And, if you can hook up with a buddy, that helped so much to be able to go there and you sort of, you know, somebody's kind of showing you the ropes, you know. It was an invaluable thing. I mean, you could go to one of these blind where you just show up and do it. You know, there are plenty of people there to help you. People answer questions. They want to help. You know, people like to help people at these sort of things, you know, because, you know, they're, you know, helping out a buddy. It's personally satisfying. And plus, of course, the people that are putting on the track day, you know, you're paying them money. So they do want to help you and make sure you have a good experience. But to have a buddy there, you know, someone to pit with, someone to talk about, a little bench racing, whatever it is, was a really good thing. And the way you can find that is if you don't know somebody that's already doing track days, the way you can find someone is on the internet. Obviously you already do the internet because you wouldn't be hearing my voice if you didn't. So go to something like one of the big forums, sportbikes.ws or the Bay Area Riders Forum or, the Speed Insider Forum has a big motorcycling group or any of these sort of nationwide or whatever in your region, that kind of thing. These forums, there's so many of them out there and, you know, just sort of put up a post. Hey, want to do a track day at such and such a track, or I live in such and such an area. Anybody doing any track days? You'll get more responses than you know what to do with. And chances are really good that you'll kind of, you know, make a new friend and get that opportunity to go out there and do a track day with that sort of helping hand of somebody that's already done it. And so you don't have to reinvent the wheel. That's one thing that I would definitely advise to anybody. And then the other thing that cannot be overstated, it just cannot be said enough, is bringing the water. And they always say it, you know, hydrate and all that. It was a hot day there in Portland, I don't know, 85, 90 degrees or so, fairly sort of muggy. So the sun wasn't blasting down. It was kind of overcast, but you know, you're wearing a leather suit in 85 or 90 odd degrees weather and riding your motorcycle around, you know, over 100 miles an hour, easily on the straights, over 130, whatever it was. And, you're going to get dehydrated fast. So take lots of water, lots of Gatorade, whatever it is that floats your boat. Stay away from the things like Coke and coffee, of course, the usual advice there. But be prepared to drink lots of water. So my track day overall, a big winner. Really enjoyed it. Like I said, I was definitely by far not the fastest guy in my group. On the other hand, I was not the slowest either. I used all of the tire. You know, I had, you know, good, the grip is just amazing. And I didn't realize how much a pair of, because I had just, you know, these are just Dunlop Street, you know, the what they call a qualifier. It's their D209. It's just a street tire. They're sport-oriented street tire, but it wasn't a race tire or anything like that. How hot these tires get and how sticky they get. Once you get them up to temperature, that tire is damn sticky. So, I was, you know, very, very confidence inspiring. Motorcycle felt good going around. You know, of course, obviously I had a few moments of, between, you know, sort of lack of confidence and lack of experience where it felt like, you know, wow, I'm braking so late that I am going to, you know, go off track or whatever, but I didn't do that. I just, you know, overcome those moments and ride on through. No serious mishaps on the whole track day. There were a couple crashes, mostly in the A group. I saw a guy in the C group go off track, but he just came back out on track. And then other than that, it seemed like everybody had a good time, a safe day, and it was a great time. So check out the Motorcycle Podcast Group at motorcyclepodcastgroup.com. There will be a new episode coming up soon. I'll have more of the track day experiences, and also listen for a future show. I'm going to go to another track day on May 30th. I've about 75% decided that I'm going to do that. It's not a final absolute decision, but it's looking pretty solid that I'll do another track day here in a couple of weeks just to get a couple of them under my belt before my deployment. And I think that if I do that, what I'm going to do is a sort of a kind of, now I've got two track days with two different companies, kind of a compare and contrast experiences of what I thought, how much more I've learned, et cetera, that kind of thing. And they're a lot of fun, and I really encourage you to try them out. And for this track day, I do want to say a big thank you to Darren Carpenter for, you know, being my sort of guiding hand through the whole thing and giving me a lot of good advice and let me share his pit and all that. Thank you to Dave Sangster, another friend that you make out there at the track, a good guy, helped me with a write-up too for MotoGPOD and a lot of good advice out there on the track. And Tyson and the crew for Cascade Track Time. They put on a good event. They say that, you know, the first priority, of course, is safety, which is good. And the second priority is very close behind it, is to have fun. And I think they accomplished that very, very well. Well put on event. Big thank you to Wayne at Komodo Gear for helping me out. Without you, that probably this track day may not have been possible. I just, you know, to the money investment and everything is significant. And that is one hurdle that you have to overcome. And thank you very much for that. And then another thank you to my wife, AJ, for her support and coming up there and not complaining that it was boring or anything like that, because I think that for her, this sort of initial excitement of me being out on the track probably wore off, you know, very, very quickly within, you know, probably like 5 minutes. And then after that, it was just sort of a long, hot day in the sun for her. But she, you know, made the best of it and never complained and helped me out quite a bit. So it was all in all a good time. And thanks a lot to everybody for all their support and help. Okay, that's going to do it for the show. We're done with the MotoGP part. We're done with the track day part. We're just really done with the show overall. So thank you very much for downloading it. We will have a show for next Friday, our Le Mans preview, getting ready for the French Grand Prix as the MotoGP traveling circus moves to Europe for the European rounds. And that should be a good show. And this weekend, don't forget, that is the Le Mans race. And also, AMA is at Sears Point, and I'm actually going to be down there, which I think I mentioned earlier on in the show, but just can't be overstated. So having a good weekend, kind of a consolation prize for missing the USGP this year, which I probably will miss it. And other than that, I think we're about done. So if you have any comments or anything, feel free to email them to bob@motogpod.com. Always like to hear from listeners out there and let me know what you think. And until then, enjoy the races and talk to you later. Oh, geez, got the tape in there backwards here. One more time.
MotoGP is a trademark of Dorna Sports SL. The MotoGPOD podcast and MotoGPOD.com are not affiliated with Dorna Sports SL. All other trademarks are the property of their respective owners. MotoGPOD isn't affiliated with any of them.